Chapter 28. Broken rest, of cloud and storm, of weary struggle and monotonous defeat, and yet shrinking from the change, as remembering how long eternity is, and how many have wended thither who know that anecdote. Early in the afternoon we overtook another procession of pilgrims, but in this one was no merriment, no jokes, no laughter, no playful ways, nor any happy giddiness, whether of youth or age. Yet both were here, both age and youth, gray old men and women, strong men and women of middle age, young husbands, young wives, little boys and girls, and three babies at the breast. Even the children were smileless. There was not a face among all these half a hundred people, but was cast down, and bore that set expression of hopelessness which is bred of long and hard trials and old acquaintance with despair. They were slaves. Chains let from their fettered feet, and their manacled hands to a sole leather belt about their waists, and all except the children, were also linked together in a file 6 feet apart, by a single chain which led from collar to collar all down the line. They were on foot, and had tramped 300 miles in 18 days, upon the cheapest odds and ends of food, and stingy rations of that. They had slept in these chains every night, bundled together like swine. They had upon their bodies some poor rags, but they could not be said to be clothed. Their irons had chafed the skin from their ankles, and made sores which were ulcerated and wormy. Their naked feet were torn, and none walked without a limp. Originally there had been 100 of these unfortunates, but about half had been sold on the trip. The trader in charge of them rode a horse, and carried a whip with a short handle, and a long heavy lash divided into several knotted tails at the end. With this whip he cut the shoulders of any that tottered from weariness and pain, and straightened them up. He did not speak. The whip conveyed his desire without that. None of these poor creatures looked up as we rode along by. They showed no consciousness of our presence. And they made no sound but one, that was the dull and awful clank of their chains from end to end of the long file, as 43 burdened feet rose and fell in unison. The file moved in a cloud of its own making. All these faces were gray with a coating of dust. One has seen the like of this coating upon furniture in unoccupied houses, and has written his idle thought in it with his finger. I was reminded of this, when I noticed the faces of some of those women, young mothers carrying babes that were near to death and freedom, how a something in their hearts was written in the dust upon their faces, plain to see, and Lord, how plain to read. For it was the track of tears. One of these young mothers was but a girl, and it hurt me to the heart to read that writing, and reflect that it was come up out of the breast of such a child, a breast that ought not to know trouble yet, but only the gladness of the morning of life. And no doubt, she reeled just then, giddy with fatigue, and down came the lash, and flicked a flake of skin from her naked shoulder. It stung me, as if I had been hit instead. The master halted the file and jumped from his horse. He stormed and swore at this girl, and said as he had made annoyance enough with her laziness, and as this was the last chance he should have, he would settle the account now. She dropped on her knees and put up her hands, and began to beg, and cry, and implore, in a passion of terror, but the master gave no attention. He snatched the child from her, and then made the men slaves who were chained before and behind her throw her on the ground, and hold her there and expose her body, and then he laid on with his lash like a madman till her back was flayed, she shrieking and struggling the while piteously. One of the men who was holding her turned away his face, and for this humanity he was reviled and flogged. All our pilgrims looked on, and commented on the expert way in which the whip was handled. They were too much hardened by lifelong everyday familiarity with slavery to notice that there was anything else in the exhibition that invited comment. This was what slavery could do, in the way of ossifying what one may call the superior lobe of human feeling. For these pilgrims were kind-hearted people, and they would not have allowed that man to treat a horse like that. I wanted to stop the whole thing and set the slaves free, but that would not do. I must not interfere too much, and get myself a name for riding over the country's laws and the citizens' rights roughshod. If I lived and prospered, I would be the death of slavery that I was resolved upon. But I would try to fix it, so that when I became its executioner it should be by command of the nation. Just here was the wayside shop of a smith, and now arrived a landed proprietor who had bought this girl a few miles back, deliverable here where her irons could be taken off. They were removed. Then there was a squabble between the gentleman and the dealer, as to which should pay the blacksmith. The moment the girl was delivered from her irons, she flung herself, all tears and frantic sobbings, into the arms of the slave who had turned away his face when she was whipped. He strained her to his breast, and smothered her face and the child's with kisses, and washed them with the rain of his tears. I suspected. I inquired. Yes, I was right. It was husband and wife. They had to be torn apart by force. The girl had to be dragged away, and she struggled and fought and shrieked like one gone mad till a turn of the road hid her from sight, and even after that, we could still make out the fading plaint of those receding shrieks. And the husband and father, with his wife and child gone, never to be seen by him again in life? Well, the look of him one might not bear at all, and so I turned away. But I knew I should never get his picture out of my mind again, and there it is to this day, to wring my heartstrings, whenever I think of it. We put up at the inn in a village just at nightfall, and when I rose next morning, and looked abroad, I was where a knight came riding in the golden glory of the new day, and recognized him for knight of mine, Sir Azanala Cure Hardy. He was in the gentleman's furnishing line, and his missionarying specialty was plug hats. He was clothed all in steel, in the beautifulest armor of the time up to where his helmet ought to have been. But he hadn't any helmet, he wore a shiny stovepipe hat, and was ridiculous a spectacle as one might want to see. It was another of my surreptitious schemes for extinguishing knighthood, by making it grotesque and absurd. Sir Azana's saddle was hung about with leather hat boxes, and every time he overcame a wandering knight he swore him into my service, and fitted him with a plug, and made him wear it. I dressed and ran down to welcome Sir Azana, and get his news. How is trade? I asked. Ye will note, that I have but these four left, yet were they 16 weenas I got me from Camelot. Why, you have certainly done nobly, Sir Azana. Where have you been foraging of late? I am but now come from the Valley of Holiness, please you sir. I am pointed for that place myself. Is there anything stirring in the monkery, more than common? By the mass he may not question it, give him good feed, boy, and stint it not, and thou valuest thy crown, so get thee lightly to the stable, and do even as I bid. Sir, it is parlous news I bring, and be these pilgrims? Then ye may not do better, good folk, than gather and hear the tale I have to tell, sith it concerneth you, for as much as ye go to find, that ye will not find, and seek that ye will seek in vain, my life being hostage for my word and message being these, namely, that a hap has happened whereof the like has not been seen no more, but once this 200 years, which was the first and last time, that said misfortune strake the holy valley in that form by commandment of the Most High whereto by reasons just, and causes thereunto contributing, wherein the matter, the miraculous fount hath ceased to flow. This shout burst from 20 pilgrim mouths at once. Ye say well, good people. I was verging to it, even when he spake. Has somebody been washing again? Nay, it is suspected, but none believe it. It is thought to be some other sin, but none wit what. How are they feeling about the calamity? None may describe it in words. The fount is these 9 days dry. The prayers that did begin then, and the lamentations in sackcloth and ashes, and the holy processions, none of these have ceased nor night nor day. And so the monks and the nuns, and the foundlings be all exhausted, and do hang up prayers writ upon parchment, sith that no strength is left in man to lift up voice. And at last they sent for thee, Sir Boss, to to try magic and enchantment. And if you could not come, then was the messenger to fetch Merlin, and he is there these 3 days now, and safe he will fetch that water, though he burst the globe and wreck its kingdoms to accomplish it. And right bravely doth he work his magic and call upon his hellions, to hie them hither and help, but not a whiff of moisture hath he started yet, even so much as might qualify as mist upon a copper mirror, and he count not the barrel of sweat he sweateth betwixt sun and sun over the dire labors of his task. And if he, breakfast was ready. As soon as it was over I showed to Sir Azana these words which I had written on the inside of his hat. Chemical Department, Laboratory Extension, Section GPXXP. Send 2 of first size, 2 of number 3, and 6 of number 4, together with the proper complementary details and 2 of my trained assistants. And I said, now get you to Camelot as fast as you can fly, brave knight, and show the writing to Clarence, and tell him to have these required matters in the Valley of Holiness with all possible dispatch. I will well, sir boss, and he was off. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.